If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
This issue seems to seesaw back and forth, especially going from the Obama administration to the Trump administration. The issue of transgender students, the bathrooms that they visit or frequent. Well, it's not just for students. It has to do with public policy. And it seems as though public policy has got out ahead of clear thinking, debate, and actual definition of terms like gender and sex. We're going to be talking about President Trump's rescinding the rules on bathrooms for transgender students. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Ashley McGuire joins us on this Thursday afternoon. She's written for numerous publications, including The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, The Washington Post, and Time Magazine. And she's author of the new book, Sex Scandal, The Drive to Abolish Male and Female. Ashley, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
The New York Times yesterday, writing about Trump rescinding the rules on bathrooms for transgendered students, called the rule that he has rescinded from the Obama administration an expansion of civil rights. What do you make of that characterization?
Well, I think it depends on whose civil rights you're talking about. I think, as I detail in the book, not just social conservatives, but also left-wing radical feminists. In fact, I was just watching a clip of one of them, a woman from the Women's Liberation Front, would argue that allowing or essentially forcing all bathrooms to become co-ed or open to either sex is actually a violation of the civil rights of women who have a right to basic privacy when they are in a vulnerable position, if you will. So I would say that's not accurate, although that's not surprising to me coming from the New York Times.
So why is this is something that's being litigated? This is something that has had a court injunction against it, actually enforcing this thing. Why was the battleground school bathrooms?
Well, I think because that is a public space. I mean, it's a little bit harder for the administration to essentially mandate the same thing for private places like Target, even though Target essentially did this of its own accord, but essentially privately run institutions. So because most schools in some way are entangled with the federal government, they have certain clout and the ability to hold them to this. I mean, schools are under the authority of an entire federal agency, the Department of Education. So it's just an area where the federal government has a lot of control.
There are those who say, look, this is infringing upon, if it's only one student in a single high school, it's still creating a hostile environment for that student to have to go into a bathroom, the gender of which they do not identify with, even though they may be biologically that gender. What's your response?
Well, you know, I think we should have empathy for somebody who doesn't feel comfortable using a certain restroom. And I think, you know, that's not the only type of example. As I've said on many other interviews in the last couple of weeks, I mean, my own husband often doesn't know what to do with our five-year-old daughter when he's out with her. She's too old to go into the men's restroom with her, and he obviously can't go into the women's restroom. So I think there certainly may be a need to discuss how to handle the number of instances of or types of people who, for whatever reason, don't feel safe or comfortable in a single-sex bathroom. But that doesn't mean that, at the same time, we can turn on its head the idea of, you know, basic privacy rights for women who are particularly vulnerable in places like bathrooms.
One of the rationale that's being used here in the recension from the Trump administration is that the Obama administration order essentially took decisions and took discretion away from individual schools, their administrators, districts, and states. What do you make of that rationale?
I think that's absolutely right. I mean, it's a accurate characterization. When the Wall Street Journal editorialized about this, they didn't say schools, this shouldn't be done per se. They just said that the states should have, these should be decisions made at the local level. And, you know, you see this happening with curriculum when it comes to teaching on these issues, and it's done at the school board level, and parents can show up and have their voices heard and discuss at length the nuances of the issue. It's a highly nuanced issue. So I think that's right. And, you know, one of the things I saw in the administration statement was that they were concerned that the way the mandate was written would lead to more confusion and lawsuits. And I think that's absolutely the case. When you have a top-down aggressive mandate like this, you're just inviting A, confusion, and B, lawsuits, because this didn't just apply to bathrooms. This also applied to pronouns. I think it was teachers, if they didn't refer to a student by the pronoun that that student chose to identify by, they could be slapped with a civil rights violation. I mean, this is sort of uncharted territory for teachers. And so I think not only was the administration not agreeing with the mandate itself, but probably the sloppy way it was written.
Then what is the solution to this? There are going to be transgender students. There is going to be that moment of indecision or confusion. Teachers and administrations of schools have to somehow deal with this issue. If not the top down, as you say, what is the solution to this dilemma?
You know, I don't have the solution. I know Target came out with its own solution after they got 1 million signatures in response to their policy that was essentially the same as the government. And that was to say that they were going to make the investment to make sure every single one of their stores had at least one family lockable single stall unisex bathroom. Maybe that's the solution.
Do you maintain concerns about President Trump's views on gender, on as it is claimed, civil rights for same-sex marriage, things like that? Do you maintain concerns?
Well, I haven't really. I don't write about that at all in the book. I mean, I actually don't know quite what his positions are. You know, I think he said as much as, you know, that the Supreme Court has ruled on that, and that's that. And I don't know how to interpret that in terms of what his personal views are. But, you know, what's clear on this issue is that he does not agree with the Obama administration's aggressive approach in terms of upheaving privacy rights for students in bathrooms.
Chad Griffin, who is president of Human Rights Campaign, said this in the New York Times: "The consequences of this decision will no doubt be heartbreaking. This isn't a state rights issue. It's a civil rights issue." What's your response, Ashley?
Well, again, I think it's whose civil rights are we talking about? I mean, you had a very high-profile woman in the ACLU, a civil rights organization, quit because she was arguing that women's rights were being trampled by framing this issue as a civil rights issue, at least with no regard or concern for the safety of women. But again, I think we have a long history of establishing civil rights for women, Title IX. I mean, what's sort of ironic is that this was done through Title IX, a piece of legislation, or done under the mantra of Title IX, a piece of legislation that was designed to protect women. So are we, you know, just going to sort of throw that to the wind? I think clearly the Trump administration is saying no. You know, the Department of Education went too far, and that, you know, people may have competing claims of civil rights, but you don't just throw one out for the other, especially when you have decades of established legal precedent protecting the rights of women.
There's obviously a larger, or has been a larger, agenda at work here from the Obama rule on transgender bathrooms. How would you describe that agenda, not of the administration in particular, but of kind of the transgender rights movement?
Well, you know, I think it's sort of part of the broader gender identity movement, which is whose bottom line, I think, is to push the notion that sex, which is a biological medical reality, is not a reality, and instead push the notion of gender as what we should be using as our sort of societal benchmark, but then arguing that gender itself is sort of a fluid or meaningless label. So it's really sort of a push to unhinge identity from reality.
Has policy, at least in the case of the Obama rule that's been rescinded, has policy got out ahead of clear thinking and conversation on this issue?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think my book sort of documents the many fronts on which policy is outpacing discussion, debate. You know, this is back to the bathroom thing. I mean, I think we can have a discussion about how to make sure that people who, for whatever reason, don't feel comfortable in a single-sex bathroom situation, whether it's a parent with an older child of the opposite sex, an elderly caregiver taking care of someone of the opposite sex, or someone who doesn't identify as the sex for the restroom that they're using, we can have a conversation about finding ways to accommodate them so that everybody feels safe and comfortable without completely upending our entire, you know, sort of tradition of affording basic privacy to the sexes when it comes to things like undressing or bathing or using the restroom. And I think that's just one example. I really think this sort of bathroom issue is not a red herring, but it's not even the most sort of obvious example of how this is playing out. I mean, I think, again, one of the most powerful examples are college campuses where you have men and women just being housed together in very close quarters, sometimes, you know, using the same bathrooms. And are they being consulted when they're, you know, freshmen, incoming freshmen, and being informed that they're going to be sharing a bathroom with men or going to be on a hallway where men will be, you know, for the women, will be walking around in, you know, their underwear? I mean, this was the case for me at Tufts. And so I think there's many, many different ways. I mean, another example would be the military and the sort of drive to conscript women into the Selective Service. I mean, we are having a discussion about that, but the Congress was moving rather quickly on that issue and thankfully stopped before they went too far and went ahead and made all women ages 18 and up register for the draft.
So how would you explain in a nutshell to someone how these kind of policies and those examples that you cited just now, how consistently, and this is the case you make in your book, consistently, these things end up damaging the rights and the privacy of women? How would you make that in a nutshell?
Well, because I think every time you see the argument for gender neutrality or completely sex-blind treatment of men and women, you wind up seeing women get the short end of the stick, whether it's sexual assault on college campuses where women and men are being housed together, the military where women are being potentially conscripted into roles that they're not physically suited for, or at least have a higher chance of injury if they're performing, or whether it's women's safe spaces and private spaces being violated. And not just the restroom issue, but, you know, in the book I give the example of a rape crisis center being forced to go all the way to the highest court for the right to keep it a female-only environment. So I think women especially prize their privacy and their right to be together as women, and that is under total assault in a culture that denies the differences between the sexes and the right to even recognize those differences.
Ashley McGuire has written for numerous publications, including The Wall Street Journal, USA Today, The Washington Post, and Time Magazine. She's author of the new book, Sex Scandal, The Drive to Abolish Male and Female. You can purchase it at our website, issuesztc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ashley, thank you.
Thank you so much.